Before we go on to a few thoughts on the relationship of the latter rain and perfection and the blotting out of sins and the sealing, one or two words about this overall outline of the sanctuary. Of all the studies that we have found most effective in presenting is a basic study of the sanctuary. And I think that our main purpose of being here for 2 weeks, if we can get a broad outline of the whole thing, because one who presents something needs to know much more than he's presenting, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. You need to have a broad outline, even though you're not using all the material sometimes, but you need that basis. Now there is the sanctuary given to the Adventist Church. In all, God designed his people to reach his purpose for the human soul. That whole sanctuary service here, from the gate right through to the most holy place, is a great work of atonement. Now I'll venture to say this. As you go out and endeavour to share the message with people, you might think up and make up 1,000 different studies of how to present the message. But you can try if you like, but I don't think you'll get a more effective way of preaching the message than God has given it. There's nothing like it, friends. In every place where the message is preached, we have found that the people, first of all, must be established on that study, what it means from the beginning to end, right through that sanctuary. Then you can take up different phases of it. But that's the basis of it all. But that sanctuary is merely an outline of righteousness by faith. Away with all man-made ideas and illustrations of it, as far as making up your own steps to heaven, whatever they might be. Stick to God's steps to heaven and God's steps to glory. There they are. The scripture says, thy way, O God, is where? In the sanctuary. Which way is so plain that the wayfaring man, even though he be a fool, need not err therein. Pity we didn't have time to have a few discussions amongst some. I know some of you have had experience in presenting the sanctuary, but there's some, perhaps not so much, but there's perhaps a pity that we never had time to say select Gil here and say, right, Gil, give us a half an hour study on the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. Now come on, Brother Wagner, you give us a half hour study of the sanctuary. Now, if you have a broad outline of the whole plan of the gospel from the fall of Satan down to the end, and you see the plan of salvation outlined before you, the cross of Jesus, his incarnation, his life, his resurrection, his ministry in the first apartment, the apostasy, the rise of the Advent movement, the work of God leading these people since 1888. You can give 100 studies on that sanctuary and start here at that gate and say, now look, we'll go through, you'll give your hearers, you'll say, we'll take here a revelation of God's purpose for the human soul. You can take 200 studies and not one of them will ever be the same, because there's so many different facets. Your own soul will be refreshed. Now if you take a study, and if you go over that study, if you write out your notes and you know exactly where you're going to go, and you find that that's a fairly effective study, so you give it to people. And you can feel as you give it that the Lord blesses your soul. You know the Lord does that. As you give out, the Lord waters your own soul. I've experienced that plenty of times. But then if you take those notes and you go over that study again and give it exactly down the line the same way, maybe the Lord will water your soul again. But after a while, you know, it'll lose its freshness. You know, you're just going along the same track. But if you get a broad picture of the whole plan of salvation, you just have the general theme in the mind. You don't need any notes. Throw your notes away. There are your notes. It's there for you, isn't it? All the steps are there. Helps you to remember where you're going next. Well, there are your notes. Keep in contact with Jesus morning by morning so that there's something, you have a freshness in your experience and you're always getting some new glimpse of his glory and his righteousness. So when you start off to study the sanctuary, you'll know in general principle where you're going, but you won't always know exactly where you're going. And if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit to guide you, the Holy Spirit will bring thoughts to your mind. And sometimes you don't know why. Maybe there's a person down there in the audience who needs just that thought. And the Holy Spirit will bring that to your mind. That's why we need a broad basis. But I don't think there will be any other study presented that's so effective as the God's way in the sanctuary. No man's doctrine. No man made that up. It was given to the... That's the heritage of the Church of God. And it's simple. It's beautiful in its simplicity, isn't it? Who can't understand the sanctuary? Why, Jack and I were down in the motel here a little over a week ago, and some folks came to see us. They had almost very little background in any Christian knowledge, didn't they, Jack? Might say just like children. And the lady said, well, I can't really get hold of these things. I can't, I don't know very much. And so I said, well, you could understand the sanctuary, and she didn't think she could. Well, we took out the sanctuary and went through that in 10 minutes. And I went home rejoicing. Saw something I'd never seen before. Just 10 minutes. If you like to make it 10 minutes. Why, you say, now this is the heavenly sanctuary. If you like, we'll draw another illustration here of the sanctuary of the soul. I'll show what it means all the way through. So many different ways and facets of truth that you can present. You can present it with your own individuality and your own experience, fresh from what you know of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about here what it is. We're all sinners and ungodly, without God and without hope in the world. Tell them about the love of Jesus shining from the cross. He died for all, and there in one offering he's poured out to men all the accumulated love of eternity. Show how we come to this sanctuary just as we are, for by the deeds of the Lord shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So we come to Jesus here and lift up the cross as we come into this gate of repentance. Not just confession of sins, but as we accept Jesus, accept the altar. First thing we see as we come through that gate is that altar. Jesus says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. The life must be laid down. If there's no life, if the old life is not let go, there's no Christian experience. There's no progress in sanctification. Some people think that they can, get in this gate and detour around that rock and start off in the Christian pathway, and they think that this work of dying to self is like a process that gradually they'll get rid of it. No such thing. We must die right here. We must give up our will, give up our ways to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I present that altar right there as you come in through that gate. Don't try and cover it up. We studied with some evangelists and some men in the work up north. And as we began talking about this altar, and particularly in reference to evangelism, they were very convicted and they began to think about it. And one said to the other, we think we've been working on wrong lines and bringing people into the church. Start saying how they're playing the soft music and turning down the lights. And, making the Adventist church as attractive as possible to people. Sort of hide the tithing question as much as possible, and health reform, don't bring out, what it's going to cost you to be an Adventist too much. Make it as attractive as possible that people will want to come in, and then gradually you begin to unveil bit by bit some of the sacrifices that you'll have to make if you're going to be a Christian. And when we had a season prayer, we came in after a break. One of the ministers prayed very earnest prayer to the Lord, and he said, Lord, forgive us for bringing tares into the church. I believe since that man has begun to present the gospel to the outsiders in the light of the sanctuary with remarkable success. We spoke on this cross and we said, no, that is a wrong principle to us to try and cover up that cross. When the rich young ruler came into Christ, Master, what might I do to have eternal life? Did Christ sort of soften it down? He put up the cross right out in front of him, and he says, right, count the cross. Don't come after me unless you count the cross. Don't invite anybody to be an Adventist. Don't invite anybody to be a Christian unless they will count the cost. And the cost is all, isn't it? Jesus says, don't come after me unless you do that. You'll only miss this world and the world to come. And there is the way the cross might be presented. And then if we bring people into this experience and you show them that this is the way of salvation, show them the great love of Jesus, then and in our work of trying to draw men to the cross, it must be presented in the light of the love of Jesus, how he gave all. And when men behold the drawing power of his love, it's not so hard to take the cross, is it? In fact, it's love that led Jesus to the cross. It is love that leads us to the cross. And they give up all. Not just things, but they give up everything. That a whole life must go. Then is it hard then to present, say, well, look, is it hard to present a tithing question? Is it hard to present a Sabbath? Is it hard to present health reform? Think of the story of one man who was presenting a message to people, the person was coming along quite all right, and then he said, well, began to hear about Adventists, you know, as some people go ahead a little bit, instead of getting studied bit by bit every week. He said, no, well, he said, look, you Adventists, you not only want a seventh of our time, you want a tenth of our money. And he was going to draw out. And the man who was leading him through, he said, man, he says, you're wrong. We don't want a seventh of your time and a tenth of your money. That's what not Christ wants for you. He said, I'll tell you, he says, what the Lord wants for you. He says, what it will mean to you? He said, to become a true Adventist. He said, the Lord wants all of your time, and he says, he wants all of your money. He says, not only will you give a tenth of it up, but he says, we not only want a tenth of it, but he says, from time to time, he says, we want large offerings from you. And he says, not only that, he says, we're going to take your sons and daughters, and we'll send them to foreign fields, and you'll never see them again. Instead of trying to minimize it and make excuses, he magnified what it was going to be, and he presented the cross. It's going to cost every ounce of life that man has. But for the love of Jesus, would he do it? And it appealed to the man. And he says, yes, I'll do it. I'll become a Christian. That's the way the Lord wants the gospel presented. He doesn't want to cheat people into the church, does he? Do you think anybody's going to be in heaven because he got there by accident? No one's going to be in heaven because he just chanced to got there, friends. Folks are going to be in heaven because they've actually chosen to be there, and they've determined to be there, and they've paid the price. And people will be outside of the holy city because they have chosen to be there. When Jesus opens the great books in the last days, and some are in that city and some are out, the love of God is manifested, because Jesus says, he virtually says to them all, he says, haven't I given to every man what they have chosen? And everyone bows down and says, yes, Lord. Every one of us has got what we've chased. Now there's the altar, must be presented. Bring them in there. There's a good illustration of baptism. The old life must be put out of sight. Here is an illustration of the Christian experience. And it's called a daily. This must be a daily experience. We can enlarge on that in 100 different ways. And then, of course, the climax comes here. The great yearly service. Work of judgment going on. Nothing like the judgment. Solemn subject, the most solemn subject that anybody can contemplate. The final work around the sanctuary. And then show the great gift of the judgment. Jesus waiting there as his people enter in by faith. The experience in the lives of God's people. Jesus waiting at the judgment not to condemn his people who are in him, but to vindicate them, to stand up and say, take away the filthy garments and give to his people the final gift of the latter rain. That call is a call today, must be focused on here. All things are ready, come to the mountain. Do you have many parables to use to illustrate the great call? Joel 2, blow the trumpet in Zion. Matthew 25, behold the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Sister White says in one place, fill your mind with Bible imagery. Present it to the people. I just thought I'd dwell in a few minutes on the presentation of the sanctuary in case it might be practical to you, because after all, it's not every obscure bit of knowledge that we need so much, but somehow that if we can get the message across to God's people, they will respond. One thing that Tom brought out, and it's very effective, very apt, what he brought out. He says, somehow, he said, the message needs no introduction. You know, you can often detect error. Tom was saying in the reform what he had to do. You know, you'd give a long introduction, you'd give a great long build-up, getting the people ready for the facts that are coming. Reading statements from the Spirit of Prophecy here and leader statements, conditioning the people's mind to receive that which you have to come. Tom was saying how wonderful it is to just go and present the simple message of the sanctuary. Need nothing very much, he goes along and he says, just starts in at the sanctuary and needs no introduction, it's his own introduction. And the Holy Sister White says in one place, the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth of the message of the sanctuary. The Holy Spirit's promised to go with anybody who will preach it, because that's our message. You don't need to start off with just... it's a mistake to start off of the sanctuary and Sister White and say, now, the Lord in the last time. No excuses. Go straight into it, and it'll speak for itself. You notice that sometimes. You meet with people that have theories and so on to present. Before they can present their theory, they'll usually spend an hour or half an hour, whatever it might be. It varies. Sometimes it's a few hours. Giving the build-up to condition your mind before they can give it to you. Truth doesn't need that. Another thing in the presentation of the sanctuary, just a few... right from the beginning, we've always found that many different studies can be given, but there is nothing like that. Here testimonies over and over again. I remember a brother last year. He had a couple of studies, because sometimes you get the difficulties of new people coming into studies all the time, and they hear maybe the third one or the fourth one. But he did. He came along and he heard one on the sanctuary, that one down at Larker Centre. He came down here, he was the last year of brother. Came to see me the next day. Said, I've never heard anything like that in my life. He said, it was like turning on a light. Said, the whole plan of salvation just flashed before me. It was just like turning on a light. We've heard testimonies like that over and over again. One lady said, this is testimonies from different people I've heard of, different ones presenting the sanctuary anywhere, and the testimonies are just common ones. One lady said, I set out a whole series on the sanctuary through Leslie Hardy. I'm trying to... Says Leslie Hardy, he's written a wonderful book and he's a great student on the sanctuary. But she came to one study on the sanctuary, just one, it took an hour. She said, I've learned more about the sanctuary tonight, she says, than I've ever learned. Probably no one knows to eternity what it means to many people. Think of another testimony of a young lady at La Sierra was telling her experience. She was looking for peace and light for years. She went for different men who are good men in the work of God, to try and get understanding and help in her condition. She couldn't receive it. And she got an invitation to come to a meeting at La Sierra. That was night John was down there when we first came to Loma Linda area. She went in and she said, well, this is probably another study. She said, as she sat there and listened, John just simply started into the sanctuary, no introduction. She said she saw the great burden roll off her back. The peace of God filled her heart. She said she'd never felt anything like it in her life before. And she's had that experience from that day to this, she's been rejoicing in the Lord. Why? God has promised he will bless that message. It's God's purpose for the human soul. Now, just another point on the overall picture of the sanctuary. When you present it, even if you're going to give a long series of studies, it's different here, of course, at the Sanctuary Institute, because we've all had to study these things before. Don't say, on one study, we'll take the older. Sure, you can bring material to talk on the older here and give one study talk for an hour on that. Take a series on it if you wanted to. And then another one you'll talk about may be about this. And maybe about this, and then later on maybe about that. Don't do it. You'll never have the same effect. In your first study with folks, move in without any build-up. This sanctuary is God's purpose for the human soul. Maybe read a couple of texts. I think where I usually make a mistake often, I go back over my studies, I say, too long getting in there. Often John sits there and criticizes me. If I don't get into the most holy place within half an hour, he says, it's too long. Too long getting into it. Because the people are inclined to sit back and say, well, we've heard all this before. But what you must do in one study, give the whole sanctuary to the person, and there's not much they can take it in. Children can take it in. You give me a group of 10-year-olds and I'll teach them the sanctuary very easily, and any of you will. They'll see the import of it. It's not hard to understand. In other words, say, now look, just show that that sanctuary is God's purpose for the human soul. Right way, oh God, is in the sanctuary. And start here, out God without hope in the world, into the older, into the labour, the daily experience, the hour of God's judgment has come, let us gather around the sanctuary, Jesus waiting there, and as we comply with the conditions of the Day of Atonement, read them. You've got a few main passages, never leave out Josh and the angel. Take away the filthy garment, the great gift of the judgment. In other words, give them a picture of it in one...